All right, we continue here in August with Ask the Mayor as the students come back, and it's a little chaotic out there in downtown, so beware students, what new parents, watch out one-way streets, and for those who live here too, right?
Good to see you, Joe. Yes, all of us need to be a little careful. It's a busy time in the city. We're welcoming, what, 8,000 new people to town and 30,000 more back who've been here before, and it's exciting time. Bloomington kind of takes it up a notch, so be careful out on the roads, sidewalks.
And I hear you were able to talk to some of the new students today.
I did. I spoke with about 80 freshmen at Briscoe who were back. They're part of the Civic Leaders bunch, and it's fun to see them from all over the country, all over the world, starting their college experience. Very exciting.
Yeah. So let's just get an update now that's kind of fresh. This last past Saturday's Farmers Market was back after a two-week hiatus over these safety concerns. If you haven't heard, there was some controversy on an alleged white supremacist vendor. The city added, what, cameras, ambassadors, there was some live entertainment. So how did it go? What's the reaction been?
Well, I was here for the whole Farmers Market that morning, and it went very well. We had thousands of people back. We had, I talked with my parks director, we had all but three vendors who were there. So they all came back in force, and the rains and thunderstorm arrived around noon, so it kind of caused a little end to the market a little early, but we'll encourage people back again this Saturday.
Any changes for this Saturday or kind of go on as planned?
I think it's going to keep going as planned for the next few weeks. We want to keep the system that we have. We're always open to tweaks. We heard some about parking and handicap parking and some other things we may be working at. But basically, the vendors will be back, and we welcome everybody back to the market.
So you may have seen this story got as far as the New York Times on Sunday, making some national news, maybe not the kind of news you want to make, but nevertheless, if we look back, though, at this time frame and when it started to where it is now and getting to this point, is there something maybe that you look back and say, well, I wish we would have done this differently?
Well, I wish we had a different country that wasn't enabling white supremacists and the kind of bigotry and hatred and some of this language of divisiveness that is so strong these days as a community. I think we're trying to deal with some of the tensions that frankly have been in our community for a couple centuries, as old as we are. But these days, this conflict with people who are anti-immigration, anti-diversity, anti-inclusion has been given some fuel, if you will, and I think that's very regrettable. As a community, we're wrestling with that. It's we're not immune from what's going on in the country, and while we may not, for example, be a border city that's been dealing with this immigration stress for many months, for a couple of years at least, and longer, we are a community where this can arise, and that's what we're seeing. I wish we didn't have that happening in our community, but we're going to deal with it. We will.
And I assume the shift now is more long-term for next year and going beyond. Any indications of anything that could possibly change in a more long-term situation than the short-term?
Right. So we're looking at really three different. We're short-term, we want to get the market open. We want to protect people. We want to make sure everybody feels welcome and included. So we've done a lot of things for that. Middle-term, we are going to review all the rules and approaches and some of the structure of the market, perhaps. That'll be for next year. Longer term, it's really important that we deal with these underlying issues of racism and white supremacy that, as I've said, you know, they were part of Bloomington overtly for many, many years and covertly still in many places. And so the long-term challenge is to address these issues for people of color, marginalized communities that feel still this community, this country is not fully welcoming and honoring them and who they are and protecting them. And that's a long effort. We've been at it for generations. We have work still to do on that.
I just wanted to get your take on this. I saw an article in The Nation magazine noting that the city's response is weak to this and that white supremacy is terrorism. It's not a difference of opinion. And that's coming from that city's response that this is First Amendment rights. And I just kind of want to get your,
sure,
your comment on that.
I saw that article. I don't agree with most of it, but I do agree that we do have homegrown white supremacist terrorism in the United States, in Indiana. We see evidence of it in our community. We had KKK distributing flyers in our community. I agree that is homegrown terrorism, and we need to treat it as such. my obligation with regard to the market is also to follow the law and to protect the rights of individuals who may believe many things but don't act on those things. We're continuing to look at it. It's a dynamic situation. I think I beg to differ a little bit with that author because we've looked at many options. We believe the city has been strongly clear about the challenge, the scourge of white supremacy in our community, but also we're aware of our obligations to follow the law, to protect safety, and we're going to continue to do both of those things.
Budget reviews this week. I've read about 12 new city full-time employees, pay raises for non-union employees, property upgrades and maintenance. Lot going on. We can't cover everything in a 15-minute show here, but maybe you can highlight some of these and some others that you think are worthwhile noting.
Sure, thanks. It's a busy week. This week is budget review. Council, of course, has to vote on the budget each year. We all agree it's the most important policy document we have. It says where we what we do with our money, how we reflect our values. I'm really proud, again, it's a balanced budget. It's fiscally responsible. We're protecting our reserves, financial reserves, in case there's a downturn coming, and continuing to invest in the future of the city. It's my fourth budget. I'm proud that we're continuing to invest in our employees. We've tripled the investment in training. We, as you mentioned, we're adding about 12 employees out of an 850-person workforce. Most of that's in utilities, and there's a couple in police department, a couple in parks, and a few others. You know, we're trying to make sure we support the economy, that we support affordable housing, that we build on the quality of life that's so strong. I mean, it's hard to capture it all. I limited myself to a 25-minute presentation, and I went to 24 minutes, I think, to talk about all the range of things going on. We appreciate the council's engagement with that over four nights this week.
Budget is about 8% higher than a year ago. You're adding employees. 8 or 12 does seem like a lot. Where does how does that craft in the budget? Is the budget bigger than before, or where does that money come from?
Yeah, actually, so 12 is just over 1% growth when you think about the population growth in the city and all the projects that we have going on. I can tell you, I had a request from all the city departments to add about 50, and they all have ideas of how they could use people, and there are many good ideas. The budget increase is mostly driven by some new funds that are available. The food and beverage tax is part of the city budget now, so that was a big chunk of the increase, as well as the affordable housing fund was another million-plus addition. So if you took those new funds out, we actually only grew by about a little over 1% in terms of the main budget. We're at $98 million for the city proper, about $170 million for the whole operation, and I'm proud of what people do. The website has lots of details if people want to dig into it and welcome ideas about what we should be doing. Some new things we're doing. I've asked the council to approve our study of how to encourage more police and fire department frontline staff living in the city. Most of our police and fire don't live in the city. We're looking at ways we might change that. We're also looking at ways to endorse and support family medical leave a little more aggressively than we do.
I feel like I've been reading a lot about environmental aspects, too, of the budget, and I know the Bloomington Transit was awarded a federal grant for another electric bus purchase, so that would be, what, its second?
I think they now have up to four.
Four, okay.
If they get all the grants. There are some grants that are pending, so I guess it's maybe we won two and there's two more pending. A big, big issue, of course, is climate change. I mean, every mayor is concerned about that. I wish our president were more concerned about it. Our budget, we spend millions of dollars on climate change-related things, infrastructure, solar energy, changing the way we do our business, and that's going to be with us for a long time. We're in year one of a five-year sustainability plan that's going to address some very specific goals of greenhouse gases and car trips and fuel usages and those things, and it will be an ever-present part of our budget presentations from here, I'm sure, till I'm no longer mayor, and I'm sure thereafter. It's a big challenge.
Do you see that where the budget, where you're spending more, but you're also not, I mean, you're hoping to improve the environment, but is it also helping the budget too?
Climate change?
The new investment into renewable resources and stuff, like the buses.
Well, the solar
I mean,
energy.
Not cheap.
No, the electric buses cost about twice as much as a diesel bus. The solar energy is a big investment that we've done really with a private partner to put the panels in, and that's going to save us money for sure over the long run. Our City Hall was just rated gold LEED, the top level for a building. We're proud of that. There are lots of ways to save money as we save energy. But I also have to say, it costs a lot of money to do the transition to a lower carbon footprint city as we go. It requires investment in infrastructure like trails and new equipment, as we mentioned. Whether we go electric or compressed natural gas, they cost a little more than the other vehicles. One new thing I announced is any new vehicle we buy, we're gonna have our sustainability director vote up or down on it. She gets to say, have you done the right thing to evaluate all the options for this vehicle? So that's a new step we're taking.
Last time I was here, you were waiting on a new memorandum of understanding from the county commissioners on the convention center expansion. And then a few days later, you got or heard about a memorandum including all elected officials, the development of a capital improvement board. And now the ball is kind of, I feel like it's back in the city's court, and we're kind of waiting to hear back from the city. How's that progress going now?
Yeah. We were waiting for an MOU, a memorandum of understanding. We didn't get that. We got a different item with outlining some things, which has some areas that I think we can agree on. We've actually already sent back to the county a memorandum of understanding. Now, I will say I don't do that in the press. I actually send it directly to them as we're trying to negotiate and work on those issues, but they've had it now for almost 2 weeks, I think, and we're, again, awaiting their response to that. But I do think we can make some progress on that. It's really important that we make progress on it. The community supported a convention center. We put in place a tax. We've got a lot of great progress on design. We just need to take the next step, finish the design, do some scoping on the pricing, and move forward. And I'm hoping and crossing my fingers that the county partners will jump on board to that.
Was there anything major that maybe changed in what you sent back to the commissioners?
Not really. Some of it's structural. We feel that the steering committee that we had in place was a very effective group of elected officials and regular residents who did a great job, and we want to keep that group going as opposed to creating a new 20 elected official member board that in our view is kind of a recipe for stalling. We agree, though, on looking at a capital improvement board. We think it's something we've been talking about for a year, and that's a good thing to keep talking about. And we agree on doing a fiscal briefing to kind of pull the numbers apart and take a look at that, which I hope to happen in the next few weeks.
Any updates on, I know 4th Street Garage is coming down soon, within the next week or so. Do you have any updates on the progress of that, or the Trades District Garage too that's in the works?
We have two garage projects running in parallel. One has to write, the 4th Street has to be demolished, which should start in August, September period of time, and pull that thing down and get ready to build the new one. And we're also designing, as you indicated, a new one at the Trades District. Both of those are running in parallel, trying to make sure we design them right. We have a lot of input from a lot of corners on how to do that, and they'll be an important asset for the future of the city. For those who worry about garages, one of the things I say is, you know, we have thousands of spaces in downtown dedicated to cars, and the better we do on reducing the need for spaces, the more we'll be able to develop those surface lots into other better uses. The last spaces we're going to want to get rid of are these garages. So they're really an investment on how to keep the cars that we need downtown and open up some more space as we get better in the next few years to use in different ways.
And I believe I heard that, and I just remember this now, so correct me if I'm wrong, but the city has a new law firm with the eminent domain litigation.
We have engaged a law firm on the eminent domain litigation. I think the court date has just been set for early September for the first hearing on that, so we're looking forward to explaining how we want to pay fair value for that property, but it's needed for a public use like a downtown garage.
That was about all I had. Did you have any other announcements or things that you'd like to say?
You know, just really welcome the students back. We appreciate that. We've got a busy fall coming. We're coming up on Labor Day, which is always a fun time to be downtown. We've actually got four festivals going on, I think, that weekend, and 4th Street Fair and Garlic Festival and another arts festival. So encourage everybody to get out and enjoy Bloomington on Labor Day weekend.
Is the city looking for any, I forgot about this, deer hunters? For the deer call, though that's not until I believe end of November, early December. But is there a call out yet for that, or is that too early?
You know, Joe, I don't know exactly the timing, but you're right that we have, I think we got a grant from the state and support from the state to encourage training and collaboration with deer private individual deer hunters who can help us manage the herd and the invasion of deer, if you will, out at Griffey Lake Nature Preserve. So if there are people interested in that, contact the Parks Department.